We now move on to page 31, application number P190574/2. I would just like to read out a statement, if I may, please, before we start the presentation and any discussion. All members have been sent correspondence from the Nanpantan Ward Residents Group regarding this item. In accordance with the Planning Code of Good Practice, this lobbying correspondence should be disclosed at the meeting. Could I also ask members of the committee to confirm that they retain an open mind regarding this item? Does anybody feel that they have to change their position at this stage, or they are here with an open mind?
Yeah, I've had no correspondence, or not seen any, so I'm here with an open mind.
Thank you very much. I think it came out as an email, Councillor Campbell. Councillor Forrest. Councillor Grimley.
Yeah, I have received it, but I'm still here with an open
okay,
mind.
So I don't know whether
just have a show of hands.
Everybody here with an open mind, please give a show of hands. Thank you. We can now move on. Yes, Ms. Jackson. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So if we move on to item two, this is an application at 59 Ashley Drive in Loughborough. It's an application for two-storey extensions and various alterations to the dwelling and conversion into five studio flats, which would fall within the use class C3. The item is referred to Plans Committee at the request of Councillor Smidovich, who objects to the loss of a class 3 C3 dwelling, a family house, and also has raised concerns about the design of the proposal, the impact on amenity, the loss of car parking, given its proximity, the lack of car parking given its proximity to the university, and increased noise and disturbance. So, the application site is on the northern side and of Ashley Drive and is directly adjacent to the university campus. There's a barrier-controlled access and egress gate to the university situated directly in front of the property. There's also, which members would have seen on site today, parking restrictions on the south side of the street, which prohibited parking between 8 in the morning and 6 in the evening. Toward the west of the application site, there was a 2-metre-high steel palisade fence, and then beyond that, substantial screening at quite a high level, which we saw earlier. The property itself is a detached 2-storied rendered property, although you saw today some of that render has now been removed, with a tiled roof. It's a generous plot, and the property also had a flat roof garage to the side and a substantial single-storey extension to the rear. In addition, there is frontage parking. The property itself is quite neglected and is in a state of disrepair. So if we just look at the aerial photograph, we're looking at this property here. The plot is relatively big, and you can see the single-storey extension and garage wrapping around the property. This just here is the university campus with Ashley Drive. So these are just photographs of the site itself. So this is the front of the property and the garage that we saw earlier. Then this is the rear of the property with the single-storey extension that I was talking about. And then this is the neighbouring property that's immediately adjacent to the site. These are some of the plans of the existing elevation. So you can see this is the front with it's quite a modest property. But with substantial single-storey extensions. You can see that's the roof which shows the comparison. This plan shows the proposed elevations. The application would be substantially altered in terms of its appearance, and there would be the removal of the extension to the rear in the garage. The proposal, as long with the extensions, as I've already explained, would involve the conversion of the property into 5 residential units. The resultant building would look significantly altered, but the actual floor print isn't much bigger than the existing property, you know, in terms of floor plan, but obviously the volume of the property is significantly increased. In terms of the height, the property would be completely re-roofed, and the new ridge height would be 8.3 metres. This is compared to 8.15 of the existing property. And the eaves line would actually be slightly reduced in height from the current eaves height. Okay. Some of the features that I'll just point out about the design that will come up later is that the proposal does include a flat roofed element here, but because of the hip roof design from street level, that wouldn't be obvious. You know, it would look like a hip roof property. But it's something for members to consider. And also to the rear, so this bit and this bit, which is this element, this side of the gable and this side, have flat roof design features as well. But these are to the rear, and so there's no public vantage points or views of that. So these are the floor plans of the proposed units. On the ground floor, there would be 2 studio apartments, and whilst they're studios, there are separate bedroom areas, 2 living areas. So, for example, this one has the kitchen just here, but all of this is flat 1, and this area here is flat 2. In terms of the first floor, again, this would be 2 units, so the whole of the rear of the property would be 1 unit, and then the front of the front would be the second unit, and then the 5th would be in the roof space. One thing for members to note is that the fifth studio flat has no conventional windows. It would be lit by roof lights and then also 2 large roof lanterns which are placed in that flat roofed area that I was discussing earlier. So this is the block plan, just to help members understand the scale. As you can see, it's not significantly different in floor plan to the existing property, but there are all the other 2-storey extensions. And the plan also indicates that 3 off-street parking spaces to current county highway standards can be provided. Concerns have been raised by local residents and the ward councillor, and these are summarised on pages 38 to 39 of your report. And in addition, the relevant development plans are summarised on 32 of your report. So if we just very quickly run through the material considerations. Obviously, members have got the full report in front of them. The starting point for any decision has to be the development plan, unless other material considerations indicate otherwise. The application site is located within the built limits of Loughborough in a well-established residential area and would result in the increase of 4 additional homes towards the housing supply. Notwithstanding this, obviously it is recognised by officers that there would be a loss of a 3-bedroom family house, but on balance it's considered that the benefits of the additional units aren't outweighed by that loss of the family house. Therefore, it's considered that the development is acceptable in principle. In terms of noise and disturbance, the proposal is for small studio apartments and therefore, by their very nature, are only suitable for single occupancy or couples. Having said that, obviously, there would be, in the space of where one dwelling was, there would now be five, so there would be more activity, and that has to be balanced. What the officer's report does highlight is that because they would be converting the property into C3 dwellings, there would be a need to comply with Part E of the building regulations in terms of limits to horizontal and vertical noise transfer, and therefore the level of noise between the individual units, would it be acceptable and meet building regulation standards. It's also highlighted that the property itself is a detached dwelling with no adjoining walls to existing residential units. And for the reasons set out in detail in the report, it's therefore not considered that a refusal on the grounds of noise could be justified. In terms of the design and the impact on the proposed street scene, it is highlighted that the development does incorporate some flat-roofed elements, and a judgment of the design has to be made by officers, by members. Officers have done this, and given the position of the property, the design of the roof with the hip roof, and the position of the other elements of flat roof around to the rear of the property, on balance, the design is acceptable, and it wouldn't have a detrimental impact on the visual amenity of the street scene. In terms of impact on neighbouring amenity, the proposal, given its orientation and its relationship with the existing neighbour, the adjacent neighbour, is not considered to have any significant detrimental impact on that residential amenity. Members will note from site that there were two side windows, but neither of these windows were the main habitable room windows on the ground floor. It was a secondary window to a kitchen, and it was a non-habitable room window on the first floor. And therefore, it's considered that the impact on that property is going to be acceptable. The distance between the property to the rear is also considered acceptable and to meet the council standards. Having said that, it also falls to members to consider the residential amenity of the future occupiers of the dwellings, not just the existing residential occupiers. And to do that, we've considered the size of the units. Obviously, the units, it's the application site is set in a generous plot, so it's considered there is more than ample outside amenity space. The units themselves, in terms of their size, the council does not have any minimum space standards in terms of what a reasonable size internal space would be for different size properties. So we have to make our own professional judgment on this. Officers have looked towards the technical guidance set out by the DCLG, and that sets out, as you can see in your report, minimum standards for a one-bed unit, and all the units within the property do meet the space standards for a one-bed unit according to that document for a one-person, one-bedroom unit, albeit it is on the limit, and two of them meet a one-bed, two-person unit. And on that basis, we consider that it would be difficult to justify a reason for refusal based on the residential amenity of the future occupiers. In terms of car parking, the proposal only incorporates three off-street car parking spaces. Now, this is under the minimum standards set out in TR18. That sets out 1.5 spaces for each flat. But members are reminded that this is a maximum provision that should be provided, and that there might be other considerations. It's also reminded of the MPPF guidance with regards to severe harm and only refusing planning permission where significant harm is caused to the highway on highway grounds. The proposal, the site itself is within easy walking distance to the town centre and is within easy walking distance to Transport Links. Therefore, based on the advice contained within paragraph 109 of the MPPF, it's not considered we can justify refusal on highway safety grounds. In terms of bin storage, if I just go back one, members will remember from site today there is significant room to the side of the property and to the rear for the storage of bins, and it's not considered that this would create a problem that we could justifiably refuse planning permission on, and for those reasons it's recommended by officers that planning permission is granted in accordance with the conditions set out in the report.
Thank you very much. We have one speaker tonight, Councillor Smidovich, if you'd like to come and join us, and I don't think I have to explain the timing system to yourself either. Thank you.
Good evening, members. Is that clear? I'm fully aware that this is not an application for an HMO, it is for 5 studio flats. Nevertheless, there are valid reasons for rejecting this application, as it seeks to circumvent in an inappropriate and extraordinary way the Borough Council's own policies on student housing and parking. There are 2 clear established precedents which provide you with grounds to refuse. The first was set on the 5th of April 2016 when the planning inspector supported Ashley Drive residents and number 39 was refused permission to house students. The inspector commented that the main issue in this case is the effect of a change of use to a property where 5 more students would have a considerable impact on the residential character of the area and the living conditions of surrounding occupiers, having particular regard to the concentration in the area. The inspector cited incomers to an established neighbourhood and the cumulative effect, which affects the imbalance makeup and the detriment and well-being of the community, together with the poor upkeep of houses, gardens, bins and litters. That inspector provided 32 paragraphs to support that main issue. The refusal was based on a 46% student occupancy of the street identified by residents, though Charnwood Borough said it was under 20%. Recent independent research shows that there is at least 52% student occupancy, as applications have emerged for certificates of lawfulness and properties have doubled in size to house students. The arguments then have not altered. The second precedent, which has not been highlighted in the report before you, was set on the 24th of February 2017, when Richard Bennett, the head of planning at CBC, provided 2 main reasons for the refusal of a dwelling house to 4 self-contained flats on 47 William Street. The application number for your reference is P162324-2. The reason for refusal cites community imbalance, increase in housing density, increase in further potential for noise and disturbance, and antisocial behaviour amongst the reasons. He also referred to policies CS1, CS2 of the core strategy, saved policy EV1, and the Borough Council local plan, paragraph 7, 17, 50, 58, 63, and 123 of the MPPF. He also took into account that in the local planning authority view, the proposal is unacceptable in principle and stated, importantly, it would be difficult for the local planning authority to refuse similar applications in the area, which would lead to further damage to the social character and amenity. So, you can refuse, and I'm sure if it went to the inspectorate, it would be upheld, particularly as our housing supply is currently showing that we have exceeded our requirement and have a 6.41 year housing supply. Research has shown that there is a surplus of student beds, and this committee has approved numerous additional PBSA blocks for students in order to release family homes. For those of you who have read the letters of objection, you will appreciate that this is a speculative development, as securing this piece of land will link with the wildlife garden and bungalow on the adjacent street, Mountfields Drive, that has already been viewed in anticipation for additional student properties by this developer. Richard Bennett's reasons for refusing the William Street application is extremely pertinent for this application. Once again, this application has been presented when full-time students are on vacation, so the road is virtually empty of cars. And here you would need to look at CS4, which states explicitly that these sort of properties need to be looked at when students are in residence. I have not had time to dwell on the location, inadequate parking, highways, social behaviours and behaviour of the properties. Those who live on Ashley Drive have cars, and so do the 6 students that live opposite this property and who leave the bins out, and the photographs were not shown tonight to actually show those bins and those cars. So please reject this. Even a rented family home would be far superior to 5 more flats that could hold up to 10 individuals.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor. I have some speakers that wish to come forward, which I've now lost my piece of paper because I've thrown water all over it. Councillor Forrest.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I must say I am rather confused about some aspects of this application. And I refer members to pages 32, page 33, page 41. And what confuses me is how many people are going to be living in this proposed development and what the impact of that would be on parking, of cars outside the house and on the street scene. Because page 32, we're told that a proposed block plan received by the local planning authority shows that 3 car parking spaces could be accommodated within the site frontage. Now, I don't like that phrase, could be. I think in this case we need something a little more definite. Would be, will be, can be. Because, well, I'll come back to that. On page 33, we're told that an overall parking requirement for the proposed development would normally, we would be looking at between 7 and 8 parking spaces. Well, clearly, outside the front of this house, there will not be room for 7 and 8 car parking spaces. So where are these cars going to park? They're going to park on the street. They're going to park on a street that I believe is already very, very congested. And when we were on the site this afternoon, we actually saw a householder struggling to get out of her drive because someone else had parked carelessly in front of her driveway. And then we come to the issue of actually how many people are going to live there and what kind of person they're going to be. Because it says on page 41, these studio apartments would be suitable for single persons or couples. Well, does that mean that if each of these studio apartments is taken by a couple, we have 10 people living in this development? These apartments are tiny. I think they are far too small for even one person to live in comfortably. But the idea that 10 people could be accommodated in this development gives me enormous concern. Also, we've been told by the local councillor that these flats are already being advertised for students. well, that's not a matter for us in many ways. But we cannot assume that people living in these flats will say to themselves, well, I'm living actually at the university gate, I will not need a car. Because we don't know that those flats are going to be let to students. They could be let to young professionals. They could be let to young professional couples who will not be working in Loughborough. They might be just living there and taking their car in the morning and driving to Leicester, Derby, Nottingham, wherever. I think there are too many doubts about this development for me personally to feel confident about going for officer's recommendation. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor Forrest.
Through you, Chair, there's a few points that you asked me to pick up there. First of all, I think it's important for me to stress to everybody here that the proposal in front of you is for C3 units. You must consider it in that way. Who's going to occupy it? How they're going to occupy it? Is not relevant to your decision. You're looking at the use class, which is within the same use class as the existing residential dwelling, albeit there'd be an increase from one C3 dwelling to five in this case, so an increase of four. And I can't stress that enough to members because we have to consider the application in front of us. In terms of how many people would be living there, again, it's not for us to control how people use their own properties. The same as if we were on a different plot to permit any size of house, we don't have a debate about whether eight people can live in a three-bedroom property if it's on a housing estate. They are, as you can see from the plans, limited in their scale, and that's why I said to members, you do need to consider the future residential amenity of these people that will be leaving here. But they're all one-bed units, so they could either be occupied, I would think it would be reasonable that they'd be occupied by one or a couple. Can't see that there'd be any more than that given the bedroom space. The council doesn't have a minimum space standard. That's the position we're in. So we do have to look to other material considerations that might help us make that judgment. And in this case, we've pointed members towards the DCLG guidance, which is the technical guidance on space standards. And as we've pointed out, whilst they're on the recommended space standards, they do meet them. So that's my advice. Obviously, you do have to make a judgment on that. In terms of the parking, Councillor Forrest was right. There is three spot parking spaces, and that is under the provision that's set out in TR18. But members have to balance that with the fact that TR18 is a saved policy from the old local plan, therefore is dated quite considerably, and we have to think about what that means in terms of what the MPPF guidance is. So you know, whether you can give it full weight, I think, is something that members need to ask themselves. It's also that policy doesn't set out a minimum standard, it sets out a maximum standard. So that's important to reinstate that classification. And one thing that we have to be mindful of, and obviously it's for you to consider if there is a highway impact, but I must point you to paragraph 109 of the MPPF, that says, and I'll read it verbatim so that for those members that haven't got it, development should only be prevented or refused on highway grounds if there would be an unacceptable impact on highway safety or the residual cumulative impact on the road network would be severe. And that test of severe is a very high threshold. So, you know, that's what you need to be thinking about if you're thinking about refusal on those grounds.
Thank you very much. Councillor Tassel.
Could we go back, please, to the first drawings. That's one. Now, on one of them, we've got two windows either side of the gable. On the other one, we've got a window and a door. Is one the back and one the front?
Yes. So this one is the front elevation, and this one is the rear elevation.
Right.
And then this has the two sides, but different apartments that are accessed either by the front or the side.
Right. So we have got two doors to exit in case of a fire. That was my worry. Okay. Now the other thing is the lantern style light in the flat roof. You can't put a flat window in the roof. So is it going to be slightly pointed, or is the skylight? Because if you put it flat, you're not going to get rid of the water. So it's got to be either. It's got to be with some angles on it. I mean, are you going to? What I'm going to say is, are you going to see that from the street?
So the roof light is what it is. It's a roof light. It is in the flat roof, and it is flat. That can be done. You won't see it from the street because it's up here. So you won't even really perceive the flat roof because of the hip roof design, and then the lantern, the roof light itself is set on the flat roof, so you definitely wouldn't see it unless you were flying over the top of the property. That unit, I should point out, has also got roof lights that are in the sloped elements on the side elevation facing the university campus. So it's not just the flat roof, they've also got the side roof lights. But in terms of how that operate and water drainage, that's all building regulations.
I understand that the saturation point for that road is 26% student accommodation. Is that right?
I can confirm that. According to the database, it is 27% in this area of the property.
Thank you very much. I do feel that this property has been made to look worse because they've taken the rendering off. Compared to some of the photographs on there, the property's been made to look almost derelict, and it's a shame, really, but that's just a comment. Thank you.
Councillor Tillotson.
Thank you. I'll pick up, if I may, on Councillor Tassel's last point. Can you go to the very first picture, the photograph that you put up at the beginning? Those of us on the trip today wouldn't have believed that was the same property because they've made it look near derelict. And I have real reservations about this. I do think, I accept it's not an HMO. I believe it's a blatant attempt to subvert our HMO policy by putting in kitchenettes into these apartments. I feel it's real overdevelopment. As Councillor Forrest indicated, there's potential for 10 people to live in this property, with potentially 10 cars if they were young professionals, or even if they were mature students, and where are those cars going to go? So I feel it's overdevelopment of the site. I think if it was being turned into 3 apartments, I wouldn't have a problem with it, but 5 is a step too far, and so I cannot support officer recommendation.
Thank you very much. Councillor Ranson. Councillor Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. I know a lot of the points have already been addressed, and I would support a lot of the comments that have already been made. I do struggle to see how 3 cars can fit on the front of that property, especially once it's developed a little bit further forward. And if they are on there, then there's going to be a lot of jostling for position in the morning when they leave, and it's straight out onto the entrance of the university, which I think there's a highway issue, and and I have concerns about safety in that respect. And also reiterate what other members have said, that potentially there's up to 10 vehicles attached to that property if you equate two people per flat.
Thank you. So, Councillor Snart.
Madam Chairman, thank you. Just to get some information, if I could, from officers. I know possibly this is not planning, but we're centering around how many people could be in that property through the five studio flats. And three of them said it's one, and two of them say it's two. Now, who would control that, or is there no control over it? Just how we can get a feel for how we're going to control this. And it centres around, in my view, the parking issue. It also centres around antisocial behaviour. And I go again to say that I note here that there's been no antisocial behaviour sighting in the street and surrounding area. But when you look at the information from the residents again, there are incidents of it. So, again, it's around that. So I'm just interested, if I may, if there is any way that could be controlled.
Okay. As I think I've said, we can't control how people live in their own property. We have to accept that there is a need for different tenures of house types, you know, that we need small units as much as we need large units, and it's important to get a good range of different housing options, I think, in our built-up areas. So that's something to consider, but we can't control how people... This is a C3 dwelling house, and we couldn't possibly control how many people were occupying it. In terms of the space standards, and if members have got a concern that the design isn't acceptable because of the residential amenity of the future occupiers, I would point you to the measurements. Now, the DCLG guidance that I pointed to gives two measurements. They give one that's suitable, what they call a suitable under the technical guidance size for a one-bed, one-person house. We can't control it, but that's what they discuss it as. And that's 37 metres squared. The other one, which is a one-bed, two-person house, or flat or apartment, whatever you like to term it, would be 50 square metres. So you can see from the calculations that officers done on the gross internal floor area, two of the units meet the higher level, and the others sit in between that minimum level and a higher level. Now, members need to consider that this is material consideration, but it's not planning policy. We don't have our own guidance, adopted guidance, or policy on that matter. So it's a judgment that you have to make. In terms of the... I think there was one other thing about the antisocial behaviour. Whilst it's recognised that the comments received do report antisocial behaviour, we have to go on the evidence available to the council. And in terms of issues regarding antisocial behaviour and reports to our own community safety team, there has been none. And that's what was reported, because that's the evidence available to us.
Madam Chairman, could I just say that I've got a feeling, that, and colleagues have said this before, that is a bit overdevelopment in terms of I'm worried about the one in the roof where there's no lighting other than a lantern. I know lanterns give you quite a lot of daylight and such, but I do feel it's... It's a bit over the top in terms of how many flats or studio flats we've got in this property.
Thank you. Councillor Tillotson.
Yeah, just as a fact, if we did support this, can we insist that there's a management plan for the communal areas? Because if it was, I know it's not an HMO, but if it was, the people living in it would be responsible for keeping the communal areas clean, But as it's not, nobody will have responsibility for the communal areas, for the garden, for the front forecourt, for the staircase. So could we insist on a management plan that's covered or not?
I think members need to consider it the same way as other flat developments would be managed. So that would normally be outside through leasehold agreements, or, you know, if it's purchased, it would be a leasehold sale, and the leaseholder would be responsible for those things. You have to remember these are people's dwellings, they're not rented properties. So I would worry that that was actually enforceable and meet the test, unfortunately.
Councillor Grimley.
Thank you, Chair. My main concern here, I think, is on the parking aspect of this. We are below the standard that's set out in the TR18. I know that has 1.5. I'd be happy if it's one space per flat, but we're three spaces for five flats, so I'm concerned that it is significantly lower than that. So the street itself does have severe problems, which we had witnessed today. I don't know where we can go on this with the NPPF, but I'm just very, very, very concerned about the parking aspect on this, and I don't know whether there's a way forward, obviously, using this on highways grounds to do with the parking, but I'll take officer's advice on that.
Councillor Kempsall.
Yeah, just my worry is that if it gets passed, there's nothing to stop anybody else down the street doing the same sort of thing. And perhaps in 10 years' time, we could have a street that had 100 people in, having 1,000 people in it. That's my worry.
Thank you. Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Chair. And I know, that the officer said straight away that we're not to confuse ourselves and say this is a HMO. It's a HMO in disguise. And I don't care how you dress it up, it's still going to be multiple occupants within that property. Maybe all within different flats, but that's what I feel it is. I think it's overdevelopment of the site. I think there is a problem with the parking. I'm looking for reasons to refuse or go against officer's recommendation on this. I think it's very unfortunate that Councillor Bentley has been put up there as vice chair, because he's very quiet these days and he's normally very active and very vocal and supports me on these things, Chair. But perhaps the officers can come up with something whilst we can refuse this overdevelopment, TR, whatever. Thank you, Chair.
I'm sorry, but I had no say in the composition of this whole planning committee. And I'm sure Councillor Bentley, if he so wishes, will not be held back from anything he wishes to say in due course. I now have a Councillor Bentley. And then I'd like to, because we've thrown quite a few things to the officers who haven't come back to us yet.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I would agree with Councillor Lowe on both points. Since being up here, you have to look and listen and not be quite so forward. But I've had a good listen to this, and I totally agree with everything you've said. I think what you're looking for is TR18. Yeah. That would be the grounds on which you'd move refusal. So on that one point, TR18 would be sufficient to move refusal on this. I don't want to do that as vice chair, but if you wanted to do that, I'm quite happy to second you on that.
I would do that, Chair, but I would also be looking for members for something else.
Okay. Thank you. I think the officers, because we've taken sort of three speakers without the officers having a chance to come back, so they've got quite a few points to follow up, which may clarify things.
I was just going to try and help members. Obviously, we're listening to the debate here and trying to piece it together for you. So what we've got is the concern is that it's overdevelopment of the site, and therefore there's concerns about the residential amenity of the future occupiers, the the noise and impacts of so many people living in such close proximity to each other, the fact that it's overdevelopment and therefore doesn't meet its parking provision as part of a wider planning balance, that the benefits of providing these four additional units aren't outweighed by the harm caused by those concerns that you've got. I think that's what members are saying. In terms of, is that right? Is there anything else? I mean, some members have mentioned the design. I don't know if that was something that needs to be.
I think she took what I was saying, Chair. She obviously wrote it down.
Sorry, it's a good job someone pressed the button. I think unless someone has another point or position to bring to the committee, I think we have discussed it and we have been given some clarification and some advice how to move forward. Now, we have been given advice about TR18, the residential amenity, and also the overdevelopment. Does anybody else want to add something else other than the officer here who would also like to say something?
Sorry, I should have said, given those concerns that I listed, the relevant policies that those issues are covered by and should be included in your resolution, if that's what members do, is CS2, which is design, EV1, which is design, TR18... which is design, TR18, yeah, sorry, which is parking standards, H17, which is extensions to dwellings, which again is another design one, and then obviously the relevant policy, the relevant extracts from the MPPF that talks about amenity and quality of design.
Sorry, Madam Chair, I was going to say, if Councillor Lowe is proposing now that we refuse officer's recommendation on those grounds, I would be more than prepared to second that motion, just for clarification.
And we have a seconder. Is everybody clear? Councillor Forrest is seconding Councillor Lowe has proposed the grounds for refusal on CS2, EV1, TR18, and also on the residential amenity.
And members are happy to delegate the actual drafting of that back to officers.
Agreed. Is that agreed? May I see a show of hands, please? Thank you very much. I think that is unanimous.
I'll just say on that, Chair, I'd like to thank the officers for their help and guidance in that particular one.
Yes, thank you.
I'd like to echo that as well.
Right.
So we move on to the final item of the meeting, which is item 6, the list of applications determined under delegated powers, pages 48 to 67. Has anybody got any points they would like to raise? Councillor Tillotson.
There's so many. Why are there so many? <It's> my...
Because people have the right to apply, but...
Yeah.
We've been very busy.
Has anybody else got anything?
Just one brief thing is that it notices that they're all small ones. We're not getting any big development planning applications coming in. And I think that's to do probably with the amount of five-year supply we've got now.
I guess
the planners are going to be very busy on developments.
I think also we have had, over the past years, quite a few very large developments. And I think it's been a credit to this council and to the planning committees of various sizes with the professionalism they've handled everything. Now, before you all depart, I know it's been quite a long day, I would like to ask you to express your thanks in a normal way. As this is the last meeting, we will have our expert, Mr. Michael Hopkins, with us. He is leaving his current department and moving to another, not doing this. We will not have him here. He's moving to a completely different job in the council, but he won't be sitting there nudging people up here saying, you can't do that and you can do that. So may we show our appreciation in the normal way. Yes. Someone has just indicated. Have you turned the speakers off, Michael?